Okay, let's begin. Okay, it's on page Yud Ashom Lechem. On page Yud Beis. Okay, let's begin on page Yud Beis. Yud Aleph Omer Aleph. Today, I believe, is Daf Yud in the Daf Yomi. Who's following Daf Yomi? What? Daf Tes. Okay, so we're jumping ahead. There was not much material on Daf Tes, so we're jumping ahead a little bit. Okay, we're going to jump ahead to Daf Yud Aleph. Kabbalas Sochor al Kvuras Mason. Page Yud Beis. Okay, again, today I believe is Daf Tes. Okay, today is Nazir Daf Tes, but we're going to jump ahead a little bit because I cannot find much material. Daf Yud? Today is Daf Yud? Okay, Daf Yud. So today we're going to jump ahead a little bit. Kabbalas Sochor al Kvuras Mason. Are you allowed to pay the chapel for Kvuras Hameis? What would be the issur?
I can't hear you.
Are you allowed to pay the chapel for their services?
The chapel is owned by an Italian.
If the chapel is owned by a Jew,
it's not true.
If the chapel is owned by a Jew, you should not be allowed to pay them for their services.
What kind of chapel?
What do you mean chapel? To bury the dead.
Why not?
Because meis also behana. This is the daf. What?
You're not paying the dead guy.
The meis, the dead body, is the cause of all of the services that are taking place. The only reason why there is a business, a funeral home, is because there are dead people. There are dead bodies.
So who covers the cost of it?
That guy doesn't care.
What?
That guy cares.
So let the relatives. So there's a halacha, neis, also, let's see what it says. Neis, also behana. You're not allowed to derive benefit from the dead. If you go into business, bearing dead bodies, and you take money for your service, you are violating the principle of meis osa behana.
So what's the catch? How did it get out?
You'll tell me I'm out of my mind, because it's one of the most lucrative businesses out there. Okay, so you're going to see. So basically, I'll tell you the whole thing outside. The basic yisoy, the reason why it's mutter, is because, get a load of this, the only one that has an obligation to bury the dead are the relatives. The relatives are the ones who have an obligation to bury the dead. So when we apply the principle, so when a chapel does the job, they're not deriving benefit from their dead. They're deriving benefit from the living, from the relatives. Because it is the relatives' duty, it is their duty to bury the dead. And if they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it because they can't do it, and they give it over to someone else. So who is the funeral home really servicing? It's a very incredible lumnus. We don't think of it like this. We think of it big deal. I mean, what's the big deal? You take money for everything today. No, it's not so simple. You are providing a benefit for the living, for the relatives, because it is their obligation, and they are giving it out to someone else, giving it out to you. Okay, let's see inside how he explains the entire problem.
He's also servicing the living.
To derive benefit directly from the dead is forbidden. You know what they say? They say about a hesped. You're not allowed to give a long hesped, because the people who has the pleasure from the hesped. The maspid.
The maspid.
So the maspid is meis osa behana. That's like a code word. They tell the rabbi, you're talking too long. They send a note. They send a note up to the rabbi during the hesped. You know, cut it short. So what do they write? What do they write in the note? Meis osa behana. The tzibur, they don't have hana. You, the rabbi, you're having hana from hearing yourself. Okay, let's see what it says. The Mishnah Mevuar Shim Omer Hanozir Yodea. And here's the case of the Mishnah. Mishnah Naf Yud Aleph Onav says, Yodea Ani, I am aware, Shehanozir Osir B'yayin. I'm well aware that a Nozir Osir B'yayin. I will sover Hayisi Shechachonim Atim Loi B'nei She'in Yochel Lichyos B'lo El B'yayin. Had I known that a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, I never would have accepted upon myself Nazirus, because I cannot live without wine. Or, I thought that I'll be a Nazir, but I'm allowed to do my job. That's my parnasa. My parnasa is to bury the dead. So therefore, this is a Pesach. You're coming to Harehu Mutter, Harei Zemutter, Rabbi Shimon Oiser. Is this automatically a Pesach of Charata? When a person accepts upon himself a term of Nazirus, it's like he is making a neder. So is this an excuse? Is this type of excuse?
Are we talking about now that he actually went to a rov?
I'm not sure.
Or is it automatic? What he's saying?
Harei zemutu. You have to look at the Mishnah. I don't know. I didn't learn the daf.
Tomorrow's daf. We didn't get
to yet. Tomorrow's daf. Yeah. Okay. So you have to. Okay. So this is the issue. Okay. We're not going to go into. This is just a gist. Okay. We're not going to go into the details. You have to learn the daf to go into details. But the gist of the Gemara is that if a person says, "I want to be a Nazir," and then he realizes, "Wait a minute, I cannot be a Nazir because I bury the dead." So the rule is, "Samach leikis." If this is called, if you're a Nazir or not. Now, betaisis. Now, what is the issue? How does this come to the sugi? Betaisis biaru shetainis anazir yi sheheyos v'utzorich lihitamos lemeisim l'tabel bohem besochar machmas doichle. What's the excuse? What do you mean I bury the dead? It's my parnasa. Taisus explains the Gemara, when the person says, I need to bury the dead, and therefore had I known that being a Nazir would be a contradiction to my Parnasa, I would never have accepted upon myself Nazirus. What's the problem? So just don't go to the cemetery. Who's forcing you to go to the cemetery? Stay away from the cemeteries. I cannot go to the cemetery because that's what I do for Parnasa. I bury the dead. This is what it says in Taisus. Wait a minute. Whoever gave a person the right to have a Parnasa of burying the dead? Traditionally, in Klal Yisrael, the Chevra Kadisha did not charge. Right? The Chevra Kadisha was a free service. It was Chesed Shel Emes. Okay, it's only today that it costs an arm and a leg.
$10,000.
It's even more sometimes.
Yeah.
Good air, it's Karaka.
If you don't pay this, my father's not right. Yeah.
Okay, so who Taisvah says this is Parnasa? Who gave you a right to have a Parnasa burying the dead? Okay, B'doivev Meisharim, U'v'sholom Meishiv, U'v'sefer. Ach, let's say this Taisus captured the attention, obviously, of a lot of Shal Shuvah Svarim. Kosvu l'dayek, they analyze Mimasha Kosvu Taisus l'tabel bohem b'sochar. I'm going to busy myself with the dead for money. She'ein iser al adam l'kachas sochar al kuras mesim. V'af sheha mesim asurim behana. Three separate Paiskim took note of this Taisus to use this as a source to teach you that obviously we see from Taisus there is no violation of mace osur behana. You are not allowed to derive the mace is compared. The Gemara, I don't know the source. We compare avodah zara to a mace. Just like a mace is osur behana, avodah zara is osur behana. But how do we know a mace is osur behana? It must be that there is a drasha somewhere. Okay, there must be a source. I do not know the source, but it's a given. It is an accepted as a given that a mace is osur behana. What?
Maybe it comes from the racial hamisim.
That's communication. Yeah.
Sham take
from which sham you're not allowed to. Could be, I don't know. You're not allowed to derive benefits. So therefore, he points out that look at this. Over here, Taisvah says he's making parnasa, and that's why he needs to go to the cemetery. So we see that the burying the dead there is no violation. Omnom, however, b'dayiv mesharim matzal l'chos. He wants to give a very forced answer. He's burying non-Jews, so the bones or the body of a non-Jew is only mitame midrabanon, is not mitame midaraisa. So that's not a contradiction. What? Minatoyra, it's not mitame, but midrabanon it's mitame. So being that we're dealing here with a nezirus, which is a din deoraisa, so the tumo derabanon of the tumo derabanon of the non-Jew is not a conflict necessarily to the to the deraisa of his term of nazirus. Let's see. Avo b'doivev meisharim rotzel litchois v'chosaf. This that it says that he buries the dead for money is discussing or he's burying the non-Jewish bodies. Then you can derive pleasure, money. The kasher shdachem shem shavdu b'lukav meisi akum shehei mutanim behanah. They are mutanim behanah. According to the Urayim, a Nazir is allowed to be Metamel Lemesakum. So, what's the problem then? If we're dealing here where the person is making money by burying non Jews, so, and if you are of the opinion that says that a Nazir is allowed to contaminate himself to a dead body of a non Jew, there's no problem. You could, no, that's the lumdus. The lumdus is since the tuma of a nazir, the prohibition of a nazir depends upon tumas oihel. Tumas oihel.
It's all tumas mace.
But a nazir.
A mace. Akum is not metame
oil. So therefore, he says. Therefore, the Dovid Yisrael says that the very big chiddush. He's quoting someone. He's saying the very big chiddush is that a nazir is allowed to be metame b'mago to the body of a non-Jew, because the body of a non-Jew cannot be metame ba'ohel, and the rule that triggers the prohibition to be metame b'mago is only if there's potential also to be tame b'ohel. So since the body of a non-Jew cannot be metame b'ohel, therefore there is no prohibition to be metame b'mago. If that would be true, then the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. The Taisa doesn't make any sense. Because the case, the person says, I cannot be a Nazir because I must contaminate myself to the dead. I have a parnosa by burying the dead. We're dealing, how are you allowed to bury the dead? How are you allowed to derive? Do I benefit from burying the dead? I'm not burying Jewish bodies. I'm burying non-Jewish bodies. Oh, you're burying non-Jewish bodies? Then there's not a problem. You can be a Nazir. Because a Nazir is allowed to contaminate himself to a non-Jewish body. So it doesn't answer the question. So we have, since this is a stira, a contradiction, an impediment to his Nazirus, it must be that he's contaminating himself to Jewish bodies. If you're contaminating to Jewish bodies, the Taisus then means that you're making a parnasa from burying Jewish bodies. But to bury a Jewish body is a sahana. Let's see what he says. Since we have to say that the case of the Tosfos is where it's an impediment to your nazirus, it must be you are contaminating yourself to a Jewish body, and yet Tosfos says you're taking money for your service. So you see, it's not a steer to meis asa b'hana. Now, what's the lumdus? So here comes the answer. Now, he doesn't really explain it very well. The next paragraph clarifies it more. But the basic answer is b'tam, and this yisod really changes the whole way you look at the mitzvah of kvuras hanes. What he says now, so it's a new way of looking at everything. B'tam aheter kosav atashbetz sheheyos. Ukvuras meis sheyesh loy kroivin eina muteles ela al kroivav. The only one that has an obligation to bury a dead body are the relatives, not non-relatives. A chevra kadisha has no obligation to bury a dead body. That's a different exception. If there is who is responsible? Call your mother. You got a problem? You call your mother. Don't come bother me. And a regular outsider has no obligation to bury the dead. The one who has an obligation to bury the dead is the closest relatives. It's their duty. What? It's their duty. It's their duty. Forget about money. It's their duty. Who has the obligation? The obligation is the closest relatives. It's their problem. It's their problem. Now, they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. They can't do it. They don't have ability. So, can you please help me? You want me to help you? Okay, I'll help you, but I can't. You have to pay me for my time. I'm a busy man. You want to help me? I'm going to charge you whatever it costs. Okay, I'll pay you the money. Help me. So, who are you really deriving benefit from? from the relatives, not from the dead. And don't tell me long this, but if you A equals B and B equals C, so A equals C. No. We don't apply such tifa lumdis when it comes to money. Who are you deriving benefit from?
He has no relatives and the money out of his estate.
That's a problem. If the money is from the base,
I had that in my shul and nobody wanted to bury him.
Yeah.
Somebody, the ex-wife, I just told her because I had called the Hebrew burials, the Free Burial Society.
Yeah.
He was sitting in the hospital for 4 days and nothing was happening.
Wow.
And she said they're divorced and she didn't want to do anything. So I said, well, I'll get him buried. You know, I mean, they were going to do it. Yeah. But she finally decided that she would, because he had had a son who was dead already and he had no relatives. So that was it. But she finally took
So what it appears to be saying is a very fascinating thing. Is that if it's your problem, let's say it's the relative, and the relative has an obligation, is the relative allowed to make money off it?
They had no roof for the
Let's say from the estate. In other words, let me give you an example. Okay, I don't know if this is true. But let's say the son. Let me ask you a similar question. Let's say the person dies. This is what the natural conclusion. No one talks about this, but let me ask this question. Exactly what you said. The person dies. He leaves over an envelope. I'm about to die. I know it's going to cost a lot of money. I'm leaving an envelope. There's $5,000 cash in the envelope to take care of my burial.
So if he left,
and he leaves over a son, and the son happens to be the owner of the most popular funeral home in the city. That's what he does for parnasa, the son. So the son says, "I'll do it. I know how to do it." The son goes. He takes the body. He does it himself. And the son then says, "So all the family." The son then says, "Listen, the father left over an envelope of $5,000 for burial. I did it. I charged $5,000. This is what I do for parnasa, and therefore I'm taking the $5,000 for myself." L'cha'oira. It's usher, no. Based upon what he says.
One second. If someone leaves money before he dies, and he leaves money after he dies, that money is already before. It's like a pre-need. He left the money for that. But if he doesn't leave, if you just find the money there, you say, I'm going to use that to cover it, that's the problem.
Okay. It depends what the funeral home is. If the funeral home is sole proprietorship, then he can't take it.
Sole proprietorship. He does it himself.
What I'm saying is, he does it himself, but he is. But the funeral home could be a corporation.
I'm not discussing that case. You're right. Then it's going. The money is going to other people. It's going to a make-believe a corporation. Right. But the point I want to make is there is a principle of meis osa behana.
Right.
And that principle is only triggered when it's your responsibility. When it's your responsibility, I have a duty to do this. My job. And in addition to fulfilling my obligation, I also want to make a few dollars off this because the father left over. I'll go. The father in the bank account in the estate. I'll tell my siblings I did it. I do the same thing every single day for a living, and I make $5,000 doing this service. And I did it myself, and therefore I want to take, before we divide the Yerusha, I want to take $5,000 for the estate for my services. It's usur. It's a violation of meis usur b'hana. Because it's my duty, it's my obligation. The only reason why it's mutter every single day, ma'aseh mecholyom, is because who are you deriving money from? You're not deriving money from the dead, you're deriving money from the relatives. Because the funeral home has no obligation to bury the dead. The obligation falls upon the closest relative. The close relative doesn't want to do it. So they want to hire someone to do it for them. So who am I deriving benefit from? The relatives, not from the dead. But again, the nafkamina is, if you...
Not for anything else.
What?
In other words, if I make a vow not to get chana for somebody, right? I don't have any obligation to get chana for... You know, it's like you're creating a whole artificial thing here. The Hana is never restricted in that, is it? The people who you're obligated for?
That's what it says. The Dov,
but only in this case.
Only, that's what the Dov Mishram, this is his Kiddush.
How can you possibly get Hana from the dead anyway, except if you make money on it?
That's the pleasure. That's it. What greater pleasure? Hana is there than making money. That's the Hana. You made money.
What's the point of the whole rule then? The rule has no sense to it.
You're not allowed to derive benefit from the dead in any shape and form. Let's see what it says in size.
But it makes no sense.
Why does it make any sense?
The only people who can possibly derive benefit are the relatives.
Take
his own way of deriving benefit.
That's right. He can't take his own.
Yeah. What's the point of the rule?
I don't understand. You're not allowed to derive benefit. You're not allowed to derive benefit.
You're not allowed to take money to bury your parents. Period. That's all.
That's
what it is.
What I'm saying.
Plain and simple rule. Live with it.
You're not allowed to derive benefit from the dead.
But everybody else is but the children.
Right.
That's the question. So the answer is, because the Dayav Mishram says, because everyone else is not deriving from the dead, it's one step removed. We're putting a buffer. There's a buffer in between the dead and the one that's deriving benefit.
Then how can you inherit from the will?
That's not from the dead.
That's money. Money is abstract. Taking the body and putting the body in the ground is a benefit of the
dead. You're not allowed to derive benefit from the dead. You mean from burying the dead?
Yeah. Anything that, any benefit that you derive directly from the dead body is called dead from the dead. He's asking a question. He's asking, how can you ever inherit a will? Because the money is coming from the person who's from the dead. That's abstract. That's not the physical body. Here, when you take the body, you put. I'm gaining money by taking the body and putting the body in the ground. That's called deriving benefit from the dead. Okay, Rabbi Sai, please.
He can take a part, but if there are, let's say, five brothers, he has to leave 20% off. His share cannot be...
Right. Yes. Okay. All right, let's read it inside. Let's read this inside. B'tam ha-heter.
Good idea.
Okay, B'tam ha-heter kosva tashbet shehiyoiz... Ukvuras me sheyesh loy kroivim eina mutelas ela al kroivav. Being that the burial of the dead sheyesh loy kroiv eina mutelas ela al kroivav, the one that has the obligation of the relatives. Ulechei, what is the proof to this principle? The proof to this principle is the fact that a kohen hedyot is not allowed to contaminate to the dead, but is allowed to contaminate to his seven closest relatives. Ulechein, therefore, hakoyanim he mitamim l'shiva b'nei mitzvah shelohen she'im heim lo yisasku bohem. If they are not going to bury their relatives, lo yimtzu korvim. No one's going to bury them. V'kevin shekein im ha'chaverim. Okay, that means the friends, meaning people who are non-relatives. Nodvarucham, they're generous. Osam, lehisasek b'chol ha-meisim, be'enim roitzim lehisasek b'chem ad she'yikhu mimimoynoi inyin kotzov. If there's a funeral home that will not do the job until they get paid. Loi mibnei ze'ovdu schar mitzvasam, they don't lose out. They're not going to lose out from this because it's not really their obligation. They're not the one. They're one step removed. The im ruchaykim heim the ein kivuras hames mutelas aleihem. If they are distant, in other words, they're not relatives, and the obligation to bury the dead is not upon them. Rashoin litol mamon minichsehen. They're allowed to take money from the estate of the dead litzarech mitzvos. Umishahu tzarech lamasa yodav rashai litol tzchar v'kipol bat. The person's allowed to take wages. Oy kamosha hisne imahem. Whatever the condition was, the afilu. And even you'll tell me, forget about this particular dead. The opening of the grave. To open the grave is a mitzvah of kavura. We find in Chazal that the people were paid in the Beis Hamikdash for different services. The coin that would sprinkle the mayim, the offar of the paraduma, the may offar, would receive money. The kiddush and the hazav the kiddush, the sprinkling of the water. The kol shekain sheyira she'ein ela ke havo umiluy sheheim. I'm not really exactly sure what he means over there. Let's go to the he said the basic yesod. Let's go to the next paragraph, explains it much better. B'maram shik, he says the same exact thing, but he explains it very clearly. Gam don b'zev kosav ke'ein zeh. He says the same thing we just said above. She'af al pi, she'chiv hashmira al hames mutl al kol Yisrael, aval al ha'koivim mutl b'yoyse. The primary obligation falls upon the closest relatives. K'moy b'chol tzedakol gemilas chasodim she'akoroiv korov koidem. K'moy sh'nemar b'pasik, Kirvu Su es achechem. Who were the ones that were told to remove the bodies of Nadav Yaviu? Elazar, Mishal v'El Tzofan, the brothers, the closest, the cousins, the closest relatives. Imke nimsa she'adam acher she'enoy mehamishpacha she'shoymer al hames u'mekabel socher al kach enoy nene mehames. Okay, that is his principle. That if you are a non-relative, you are not considered to be deriving benefit from the dead. Ela, whom are you deriving benefit from? Mehamishpacha, from the family. Haroitza lifter esatzmai mehashmira al hames. The family, they have the obligation. They don't want to do it. They want to hire someone to take over for them, so they pay someone. So who are you benefiting? You're benefiting the mishpacha, the living. And the living, in turn, are fulfilling an obligation that they have towards the dead.
So they're allowed to pay a shomer, but they're not allowed to get paid for being the shomer.
Exactly. So if a relative himself wants to be a shomer, a close relative wants, sometimes they don't have shomer, and they tell you, you want to be a shomer, so you be the shomer. So and then who would pay them already? I mean, it comes out of your pocket anyway. So you're not allowed to take money for that. It's your obligation. You're a steer of what?
Status.
What do you mean? Of course. Today they charge. Look at the bills. They charge a hundred.
It's a requirement?
Yes, it's a requirement.
Yeah.
It's definitely a requirement, and
not clear.
If
the body is more, it's not clear
that it's a chiv shmir. It's already protected.
It's protected.
Why do you have shmir? That the animals, the reason why you have shmir is that the animals should not. There's two reasons. There's the animals should not eat up the body. Or then there's Kabbalah. In Yoni Kabbalah, that if there's a living person there, the Mazikin.
In case, my mother-in-law was nifter on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
In a nursing home. So I asked about the Nishmir. He says, it would be a good idea, but technically.
It's okay.
You don't need Shmir.
Because it's protected. Today you don't need Shmir because pretty much.
It's covered a mace.
There are many different inyanim. There's covered a mace, and then there is Kabbalistic inyanim that you don't want the mazikim to affect the body. A living person is there, so the mazikim don't affect the body. And then there's just practical reasons. You want to make sure they don't. No one switches the bodies. And you want to make sure that someone, they don't do an autopsy. And you want to make sure they don't, an animal, and rodents don't come and start.
They used to put eggs.
Why the eggs keep away snakes?
The guy won't understand that. They saw a mace that had the egg on it. You knew that this was a
dead body. Okay. So he's
buried him a couple days later.
Okay, let's finish up.
If I come across it, they wouldn't realize that the eggs were sneaky because they eat the egg and somebody has.
When I was a kid, I switched the body. I had a dream. He knew his mother was not in the box.
They switched the box. There are horror stories where they come to Eretz Yisrael and the Chevra Kadisha puts the body in and they realize this is not the right body. Okay, Rabbi, let's finish up, please.
Rabbi, nice question. I'm walking in Central Park and I come across a body. Jewish body. I'm obligated to see that it's buried, right?
Call the police.
No, but I'm obligated to see that it's buried. I mean, even a Kohen has to come.
A mace mitzvah, yeah. Yes.
So now if I take this to the funeral home, body to the funeral home, they have to bury it for nothing, right?
Try.
I'm not getting any benefit.
Let's say that we
didn't have the Hebrew for burial. Let's say we did.
But there is.
But they're gonna take it to a funeral home. They're gonna pay for it.
Who's the funeral home? They're gonna pick it up until they have the money.
The funeral home will not do anything until they have the cash on barrel. That's the whole thing. They have to pay for it.
Okay, let's finish, please. Let's finish this up. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Im Kein, Nim Susha Adam, Kein Lam Rabbi Yisai. Ela Meham Shpacha, Haroit Sekel Tzim Shab. And Ela Meham Shpacha, Haroit Se, Liftar Es Atzmai Mishmu Es Alameis. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, come on. What do you say? The ain is lechonis in the mishpachas hameis. The afsha hameis who goyim es hana. Even though the mace is goyim the hana, ultimately where is it coming from? It's coming from the mace. Mikol makom ain ze nikri ela grama de grama. It's called the grama de grama. He says, "Umuter be'oifin kizel lechonis hameis." In this situation, might have hana. With the chasam soifer. Next page. Kosav shema she'oshu lekachas socha shmuas iser hana. Kigoyin yayin b'nesach. This that it is forbidden. There's this another question. Are you allowed to guard Yayin Nesach? Let's say you're a shomer for non-kosher wine. Are you allowed to receive wages for guarding non-kosher wine? The answer is no. Something that is asa b'hano, Yayin Nesach is asa b'hano. Non-kosher wine, so why should it be allowed, why should you be allowed to receive money for doing shmira? Okay, forget about burial. Let's say they hire Bachram for this. They hire people make good money from this. It's funeral homes are always in need of people to do shmirah, people to be there overnight or over Shabbos, over Yom Tov, and they pay good money. They pay a lot of money for this. So how are you allowed to receive cash for doing a shift of shmirah when mace asur b'hana? Why is it different if there was someone call you in and say, can you do me a favor, I want you to watch this wine, this non-kosher wine? You're not allowed to take one penny for watching non-kosher wine.
Working in a non-kosher liquor store.
Working in that is a very big problem. Yeah. They're definitely, your whole parnassus is coming from Yayin Nesach. Yes.
Up to a point is that all these kosher stores, or I should say all, I don't know, but a lot of them, they sell wine that is not, gallon wine or whatever it is, in addition to the kosher plate.
Yeah.
On the shelf. But if you could say that you wouldn't do business, you're going to lose a lot of business if you took it all.
Bahavla.
You're allowed to sell one thing, but that doesn't. The only issue is to sell milk and meat products, like you could buy.
Mamish.
And I asked Shadi when I was in business, what I'm allowed, what I'm not allowed. So I'm allowed to take some non-kosher products in if I could say that a lot of my customers are going to shop elsewhere if they can't buy these products.
Uh huh.
So.
It could be on Yayin Nesach, it doesn't. It's more Chamor, Asbahana. Okay, let's see. Isra Hanukkah on Yayin Nesach, Vahum Ibn Yashar, 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 Yashar. So he says here another very interesting Svara. When it comes to Yayin Nesach, when you are guarding non kosher wine, you want to make sure when the day is over, the wine has not gone anywhere. Masha ain't kein Isra Hanami Mace, ain't a Gorm Isra Likiyumai, Elitzarach Likoyroi Mishum Bizoyon Oikapara. There's not a matter. A dead body is not something you want to preserve. It's a very bizarre svara. When you guard, why?
No.
Why are you guarding a dead body? You're only guarding a dead body is because it should not be disgraced or before it should be buried, it's not because you want to preserve the dead body. The dead body is not going to be preserved. The dead body is going to decay. If not because of bezoyon oikaparo lo hoya mitzvah lekarvoy afal pi she'asa behana. The only reason why we bury a dead body is because of kaparu or bezoy, not because we want to preserve it. The kaven she'ein kan iser mishum roitze b'kiyumoy schoroy mutter. He's saying a very bizarre svar, the Chasam Sefer. He's saying that you cannot compare watching yayin nesech to watching a dead body. When you watch yayin nesech or real iser hana, you actually want that thing to be preserved forever. A dead body is not something that has any significance. The neshama is what counts. The dead body, the only reason why the dead body is, I don't really have clarity. I mean, you want the body for the dead. The body, when the body is buried, then the body has atonement, yes.
Only if it's buried,
but ideally, that's the ideal way for, that's why we're so makbid, not to have a, cremation is a very big problem, and it's a zuchus. You know, we take it for granted because Baruch Hashem. You know, it's unheard of today. A body is not buried, but in the Holocaust, not everyone was zeicha to kavura, and even that recently, 9/11. There were people that were vaporized. There's mamish nothing. They don't have a mashu of the. And then if you find a small amount of a bone particle, it's a very big simcha. What?
Bone parts or whatever they found.
They buried. But it, according to Chazal, burial is a zuchus, is a merit. A person doesn't know what zuchus he has. When a person, Rachman al Sonia, lo yaleinu, you go to a funeral and you see a person is buried, that person had zuchusim. That he was zoicha, he merited that he had a kever Yisrael. A kever Yisrael is even a bigger mila. Forget about a kever Yisrael. Just the fact that he had a kever, that his body was buried, and then you want to have all the icing on the cake where he was done the kever Yisrael, done in a bakovetic way, miyuchid just for him with a matzeva. Wow, it's a very big zechus, and all of these things enhance the atonement that the neshama receives. All right, omnam b'shut.
Whether
Kura
is really
covered Ameis
or
covered Achayim. No, that's Nichum Aveilim. That's Haspedim.
Nichum Aveilim.
That's giving Haspedim. But the burial itself is a kapar for the mace. Okay, Omnam, Beshut Shalom Mesha. Okay, he's saying the Svarach. I don't really have clarity. He's saying the difference between the dead body and Yayin Esach. Omnam, Beshut Shalom Mesha, Toma Allah Atashbeitz, Shekos of the Papal, the Mutal Little Socher Al Kvur. This is a very big issue. We take it for granted today. It's like a Dabar Pasha. What's the Shaila? There's a funeral home, and everyone knows the funeral homes, they charge an arm and a leg. Everyone knows this, but that's the way life is. Right? That's the way it is. And we don't even think about it. Who gave them a right to charge even $1 for burial to bury the dead? Meisa Sabahana.
So, okay,
the Kosav. Shuhu, okay, Shakasa Lufapa, the Mutalitol Sakhar, Allah Kuru, the Kosav, Shuhu, Gumar, the Fureshis, because I don't know what it's Gumar, Shamutalitol Sakhar, the Hain Dike, Midim Hashlokonarach, the Hain Heavy, Bishut Kasam Soifish, Erich Lavar, Shamutalitol Sakhar, Kuru, the Ain Oid, Bishut Ramatsky, all the sources. Okay, but the basic bottom line is the main use I want to bring out is this, you saw it. It's not so simple. Burial, traditionally, there was something called Chesed Shel Emes. Chesed, you have no expectation to be rewarded. It was done for free. Even talk about things also like Tahara. Okay, I think over here in Midwood Chapels, I think all the people who do the Tahara, they do it for free. Okay, it's done for free. In other places...
If you want to, they don't ask.
In other places, but they charge. I mean, the chapel charges plenty of money for everything else. Don't get those. But there are certain chevres in Borough Park where they can charge for a tahara. The tahara can cost more than the whole funeral.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you think a tahara by some of the cost? $3,000.
It's the parnasa.
I paid for my father $1,800 19 years ago.
The tahara?
Yeah. That's what they charged. My mother couldn't believe it. I said, forget about it. My father insisted. That's all.
What is it, 34 minutes?
This is a very bizarre, this is something Rav Moshe has...
We didn't know he wanted to...
Okay, but whatever it is, this is something... This,
that's what I'm talking.
The point I want to make is like this. Let's review. The Yisoid, we're finished. The Yisoid is... There's a lot of money to be made from the dead.
Could you bring in an expert?
If I could find someone, they charge a lot of money. They charge a lot of money. Future customers.
Being
buried
is a
chus.
Why are people required to do it if it's a
chus? It's a chus for the nifter. It's not a chus for the living. It's not a chus for the living.
Therefore, they're benefiting from the dead because the dead is getting a benefit from being buried.
That's right. That's the problem.
No right to benefit.
It's a major, major issue. We're dealing over here. The dead is a billion-dollar business, trillion-dollar business, especially Jewish funerals, because Jewish funerals you have. There's a lot that goes along with it: the tahara, the karka, the batsavis, and everything that goes along with it. All the bells and whistles.
That's already not the base.
All the bells and whistles, whatever it is. There's a lot of money to be made. And every time money is to be made, there's a question. Meis asa behana, what are you doing? What are you doing over here? You're going on shmira. They want a yeshiva bracha. Right? They want a yeshiva bracha. Come for Shabbos, I'll give you $200. You sit here the whole Shabbos. Go to your mind. You sit here the whole Shabbos, I'll give you $200. Shibach's a lot of money for shiva, a lot of money for anyone. So meis asa behana. So the basic yesoid is, there's one answer. The one basic yesoid is the mace, the obligation of the mace is not my problem. The obligation is primarily upon the relatives, the seven closest relatives. They should be the one doing all of these things. They don't want to do it. They want to free themselves from the obligation. They want to hire someone else. Okay, so who am I receiving money from? Not the dead. There's a buffer zone between the dead and the one who derives benefit, and that is the seven closest relatives. And the nafka mina is, if you are from the seven closest relatives who are doing a service, you really seemingly not allowed to take advantage, because it would then be a violation of neis asa behana. That's the yesoid, and we'll stop with that tomorrow. Maybe we'll do the next thing. So we'll take a short break.
Thank you.
Same thing. The rabbi is providing to the family.
Yeah.
He's giving honor to the dead on their behalf.
So it's not sure. It's part of Rav's job to do that. People repay like when they sell chametz, they give them a bonus.
Bonus.
But it's not actually for that. Yeah.